Welcome back to another edition of This Week in College Football, brought to you by CFB Talk Daily. Today is Wednesday, May 8th. Before we jump into the swing of things here, we have some exciting news to announce. We're adding a new member of the podcast crew. His name's Mike. Welcome, Mike.
What's up, guys? What's up? Glad to be here.
Third person's going to help us out for when me and John can't make it to the podcast. We can still put out some kind of material for you guys. So I know we've been putting this off for a while, talking about material. The Big Ten West, it's like we forgot about it completely, but we didn't. So that's what we're going to do tonight, and we're going to do the rest of the conferences in the upcoming weeks. Those will be finished shortly because we all have a tight schedule coming up, so we want to get that done before we hit the tough road ahead with some schedule things. So we're going to jump right into it. John, you want to start off with the first team?
We're doing Iowa first, right?
Yeah, we're going to start with Iowa, so yeah.
All right, so for Iowa, I have their schedule right here. I think they start off 1-0 against Miami, Ohio, start off 2-0 against Rutgers, lose to Iowa State, so that's 2-1. Then they have a bye week, Middle Tennessee, which they go, that's 3-1. Then Michigan, they'll be 3-2. Penn State, they're going to beat, and they'll be 4-2. Then Purdue, they will beat. Northwestern, they'll beat. Wisconsin, they will lose to, because at Wisconsin, they will beat Minnesota, beat Illinois, beat Nebraska, so they finished 9-3.
You have 9-3.
Oof, yeah. That's a tough one right there, man.
All
right,
Mike, you want to make your debut, buddy?
All right, so big thing with Iowa, they get their quarterback back, Nate Stanley, and their top three running backs on a very good offense. The only problem is they lose their top two tight ends. Both tight ends went in the NFL draft in Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson. It's going to be tough to replace those guys coming down the stretch.
Yeah, also, like, talking about losses, Anthony Nelson and Amani Hooker both left. But they do have some, like, a majority of the guys are returning, and that's a defense that averaged a little under 18 points a game last year. So I think you had them 9-3, John. I'm a little more optimistic this year. I have them at 10-2 with losses to Michigan and Minnesota. I don't know, something about Iowa. I think they play Wisconsin tight, and even though that game is a Camp Randall, I think that's one of those games where Iowa just plays Iowa football and beats Wisconsin at home.
Well, see, that's what I have for them with Penn State. I think that Iowa football thing, I think that factors into them upsetting Penn State. Sorry, Mike. But
I know, diehard Penn State fan, but anytime Penn State travels to Iowa, or anyone that does travel to Iowa, that fan base, they put up a good fight over there. So it's always a tough call.
Yeah, I think that game might be at Penn State, though. I'm not sure.
Especially with Penn State switching up their running back situation, going with two sophomores, and trying to figure out how Sean Clifford can lead this team after Trace McSorley.
Yeah. Okay, so that game is at Iowa, actually. So
yes, good. So.
All right, cool.
So let's move on into Wisconsin. Mike, you want to start this one?
Yeah. They got Alex Cohn as a projected starter. Nothing too special there. Jonathan Taylor is going to have to be the workhorse back in the backfield, but their only major glaring problem is they lose their three offensive linemen to the NFL. It's going to be tough to replace those big men.
John, you can go next because I have a good amount to say about Wisconsin.
All right, so I just want to start off saying Wisconsin plays the most boring football I've ever watched. They're like what Rutgers aspires to be, with like no forward pass, but like very strong run game, good defense. So with that saying, I think they go 10-2 with their lone losses to Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah. So we saw them live last year in the Pinstripe Bowl, and four of their best statistical receivers come back, but as well as three offensive linemen, like Mike said, they lose a lot of on the defensive side. So I have them at 10-2 or 9-3, which I think they're going to lose to Ohio State and Nebraska, and maybe Nebraska.
My thing with
But,
my thing with Wisconsin is they always find guys that you've never heard of, no one ever recruited, and just turn their linemen into studs.
I mean, we saw it firsthand at the Pinstripe Bowl. Like, they manhandled Miami. Like, Miami had no business even lining up with them. I mean, and it's their line was so good, and it was even better because they had Jonathan Taylor behind it. Like, the gaps that he was getting. So you can kind of relieve the stress off Cohn, who really isn't that great of a passer. He's really not that great of a quarterback on it. Like, he's good, but he's not going to change their offense.
He's nothing spectacular. He's not going to blow you out of the water.
Yeah, Wisconsin never really has good quarterbacks. I mean, like, Russell Wilson was good, but after that, they haven't really had a great.
And Wilson was a grad transfer, so it's not even like he was a.
He wasn't a homegrown product.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Yeah.
He was just there for the
funny
year.
Funny story about Alex Cohn. About a year ago, who was it? Oh, Boomer Esiason went on Part of My Take, Barstool, and said that Alex Cohn was a 5-star quarterback, and Big Cat was in utter disbelief that. He was sitting the bench over Hornibrook, and soon to find out that he was a 3-star quarterback. And for those of you who do not know, the difference between a 3-star quarterback and a 5-star quarterback is very big.
It's massive.
But so I think Wisconsin has a good year this year again. Like I said, 10-2 or 9-3. So let's keep it with the red uniforms and jump into the Cornhuskers. Mike, you want to start this one again?
All right, so last year, obviously, they brought in the new coach in Scott Frost, coming off that big UCF run they had. They finished the year strong after a really rocky start, dropping most of their front games. They did have key wins over Minnesota and Michigan State at the end of last year. Half the losses, though, were 4 points or less. So they were in the games. They just couldn't close. They're one play away. But the major glaring thing they have, their quarterback, he's coming back. It's going to be good.
Yeah, but on the defensive side, they lose, you know, not the defensive side, on the offensive side, they lose the running back, Stanley Morgan. You know, he just had a little over 1,000 yards, I think, last year. But they do have a favorable non-conference schedule. I don't know who it is off the top of my head, but let me look real quick. I don't think it's
very anyone. Bad. It is South Alabama,
yeah.
And NIU. So.
Oof.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very favorable.
And they have Colorado, which is played the discussion all.
Colorado will compete, though. They'll compete.
That's not a gimme, but, I mean, the Jags, come on. So, I have them sitting at 9-3 and maybe 8-4. Like, I have them losing to Ohio State and Iowa and maybe Wisconsin.
All right. I think Adrian Martinez is a stud, but I have them at 8-4. I think they lose to Ohio State, Northwestern, Purdue, and Wisconsin.
Purdue, wow. All right.
Yeah, I think that Purdue will beat them. It's at Purdue. Purdue upset
Ohio State
last year at home. So I think that they'll do it again.
We'll discuss deeper into that when we get to Purdue, because they're coming up soon.
All right, cool.
All right, John, you'll start this one off talking about the returning West champs, Northwestern.
All right, so I talked about Wisconsin being, like, what Rutgers aspires to be, but Northwestern's offense is literally, like, Rutgers West. They somehow get it done, but it's so ugly every time they go up and down the field.
Rutgers doesn't get it done, though. That's the difference.
Rutgers will never get it done.
All right, well, Northwestern, they start off 0-1 with Stanford. They go, hold on, 1-2. Man, I have them starting off 1-5.
That's rough.
Yeah,
that's rough.
I actually have, like, the same stretch.
I think I have them going 7-5 because I think they lose out of their first 6 games. I have them beating UNLV and losing every other game.
Yeah, I mean, I have them I have them at 8-4, but I can see them 7-5 because I have them winning the Stanford game. But that's, like, a real toss up. But they do lose, like, their number one receiver, like, Flynn Nodgel's gone. He's out. So, I mean, in an offense that really, like, isn't a predominant offense, they beat you by playing good offense, good, and really good defense.
It's just so miserable.
It's looking a Stanford game.
They start off with Stanford, then they go play UNLV, which is a cupcake, and then they play Michigan State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Ohio State, and Iowa.
Just a tough stretch for Northwestern.
Any team.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Because those are all teams that, like, just, like, will beat you up front. Like, that's a tiring week. Like,
exactly. No matter where you're playing the game, they will beat you.
Like, that's a tough stretch right there, physically.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of, speaking of Rutgers, the schedule they started off with last year, where they just had a brutal start. But, all right.
All right, Mike, let's hear yours.
So the only big thing from Northwestern is they're getting this Hunter Johnson from Clemson. He's a former five-star quarterback. The offense could see a little improvement, but you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, like, and we were, like I just said, like, their offense isn't one of those offenses going to go and give you 45 points a game. Like, they're a very good defensive team and a good enough offensive team. So, you know, if Johnson can come in and play well and give them a boost, they can get away with a little less focus on defense. But I don't see Northwestern not being a defensive-focused team.
That's a pretty good point.
All right, so let's slide on into the state of Minnesota. I'll start this one off. I haven't started one in a while.
The Gophers, baby.
Yeah, the Gophers. And they already have a problem because from all reports I saw when I was doing this, there was a QB competition. Tanner Morgan, Zach Anistead. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Zach Anistead? Yeah. Fun fact, do you know that Art was the starter over Zach Anistead at IMG? And then Zach Anistead won the job because Art got benched and he started getting offers, walked on at Minnesota.
Yeah, I thought he walked on. So yeah, that brings the classic, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback into play. So that's where I'm like, and so like with that quarterback competition, I have them sitting at 7-5, maybe 8-4. It really just depends on like the Maryland game because I have them losing to Nebraska, Penn State, Iowa, Wisconsin, and like that Maryland game is what, you know, flips them from either 7-5 to an 8-4 team with me.
All right, so I'll go second here. First off, I want to talk about, have you seen their tackle?
Whomst?
Minnesota.
I have not.
You haven't?
No.
You are missing out. They have a tackle. His name right here is Daniel Falale.
Mm-hmm.
6'9", 400 pounds as a freshman last year.
Jeez, 400? How do you move?
He's from Australia, and he is ginormous. Didn't start playing football, I think, until high school. And he committed to Minnesota, and he was playing at 400 pounds. He actually had a rushing TD in the spring game.
Did he move at all, or is he just kind of there?
Dude, you're 400 pounds. Who cares? You just got to get in the way.
Yeah, he's just going to be in the way of everyone.
Yeah, but you get in the way of your running back at that point.
No, yeah, you're right, but okay. All right, so I have them beating South Dakota State. They start off 3-0, 3-1, 3-2. I have them only losing to Penn. Their last four games they dropped, actually, to Penn State, Iowa, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. So 8-4.
Yeah, that's right. I have them sitting about the same. All right, Mike, what do you got, buddy? Let's hear it. All right,
so Minnesota is one of the deepest backfields in the entire Big Ten West. With Bryce Williams and Muhammad Ibrahim coming back, it's going to be a good one. So they're going to do well. They're going to run the ball, and they're going to run the ball effectively. Hopefully that 400-pound tackle does not get in the way of these two guys because these guys will run.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, they have two freshman quarterbacks. So, like, I mean, I don't know.
Alex said played last year. He's a sophomore.
Yeah, I don't know why I said freshman.
I know, but all you have to do is hand the ball off to one of these guys, and they'll do the work.
Yeah, until they load the box, and then you have to pass the ball.
Yeah, before we move on, I just want to give a shout-out to Namdi Adem Madumer. He follows us on Twitter. He's a Minnesota receiver. So,
thanks for the follow.
Appreciate it.
All right, so we're all wrapped up with Minnesota?
Yes, sir.
Going off to Purdue.
All right, the Boilermakers. Mike, start this one off, pal.
I'll start this one off, boys. So we're going to start with Purdue. Jeff Brohm stayed instead of taking a new job at Louisville. They do have a pretty decent offense. It's nothing great. It's good. It's average. Okay. The line, they're going to have to replace the two big backs in Martell Jones and DJ Knox. So you never know.
I mean, anyone who talks about Purdue, like, there's one thing you need to know about Purdue, and it's Rondell Moore. Like, when you think
man is a stud.
When you think, like, playmakers, like, that should be the first person that comes to your mind. Like, he is a top two receiver in the country, and he's not in second place. Like, he's the best receiver in the country. Like, if you want someone to change a game for you at the receiver position, I don't think anyone else does it better than Rondell Moore. I mean, we saw it in, you know, right in front of our eyes against Ohio State, what he did. He completely changed that game.
Just letting you know. 29,000 people disagree with you, and they think Jerry Jeudy is better than him.
Shout out to all you guys for voting up there.
I don't care what they think.
Rondell Moore is just undersized. That's all he is. That's the only like critique to him. He's undersized.
I don't get me wrong. Judy is a very, 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 very good receiver. Like
exactly.
Like we're not. I'm not saying that he's not a great receiver, but I just think Rondell Moore is the best receiver in the country.
Yeah, even with saying that, I think Rondell Moore is probably like my Bucknoff winner, and probably my Heisman winner.
Yeah, we both had him in the Heisman predictions.
All right. Did you give your schedule prediction?
No, but another thing with Purdue, before I get to that, is their defense allows a lot of big plays. I think it was like they allowed like 15 plays of 40 yards or more, and that's not good football.
Yeah, that ain't no problem.
But I do have them having a very down year this year, especially with the defensive troubles. I have them at 4-8. I don't think they're going to be very good this year. I think they're going to lose to TCU. Minnesota, Penn State, Maryland, Iowa, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. They're another one of those teams that I think when I was looking at the schedule, they have like a really big stretch where they play really good teams on the road. So you talk and I'll look that up before I confirm it.
All right, so I'm going to make a bold prediction here that Purdue's starting quarterback this season is not currently on the roster.
Oh.
Brandon Peters. So you're going to go with who?
Brandon Peters, who's transferring from Michigan. His girlfriend goes to Purdue, and he announced a transfer last week. I'm pretty sure, I even tweeted, I'm pretty sure he's going to stay in the Big Ten. I think he goes to Purdue and starts, so I'm going to make my predictions based off that.
They're already starting spring ball, though, so, like, does someone, do you think, I know, but do you think someone already has the edge over there, or do you think Brandon Peters can come right in and take the job?
I think he comes right in and takes the job. But with that being said, they finish 5-7.
Yeah, I just pulled up their schedule. In a four-week span, they play home against Nebraska. They're at Northwestern and at Wisconsin.
I didn't say they're going to be good. I just said
– I know. I'm saying like that. That's like not a fun stretch of schedule right there. All right, so let's round out the West with the boys in Illinois. I'll start this one. It's not great. Their defense last year allowed close to 40 points a game and 7 yards per play, and like that's not a really good formula for successful football. I have them having another down year. A lot of people were optimistic. Because 2 years ago, I think Lovey won five games 2 years ago, maybe. But I do have them losing to Nebraska, Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, Purdue, Michigan State, Iowa, and Northwestern.
All right, I'll go second. I think this team added a ton of talent, even though Luke Ford is not eligible. MJ Rivers transferred. They bring in Tommy Stevens. Or no, they didn't bring in Stevens. They brought in a Fink, right? Matt Fink? From USC?
Well, to fact check that.
All right. Yeah, no, they brought in Matt Fink from USC. I actually know that. They also brought in, I think, Trayvon Sidney from USC, the receiver. He's pretty good. They brought in a lot of talent through the transfer portal. And I think that they're going to beat UConn, beat Eastern Michigan, beat Akron. Big Ten schedule. They only beat Rutgers, and I'm going to go with Michigan State. Their offense was not great last year, so I have them at 5-7 as well.
I had 4-8, but same difference. All right, Mike, round us up for us, buddy.
Yeah, for Illinois, Lovie Smith, right? Big Illinois guy with Chicago Bears. Doesn't have a quarterback in college. That's plain and simple. You can't play football without a decent quarterback. Right now, there is no quarterback. It doesn't matter who they get through the transfer portal. It doesn't matter who they recruit. I don't think they're going to do anything well with a quarterback position. I love Tommy Stevens. If he does go there, good for him.
He's not going to go there now because Fink's there. Yeah.
I know, but even if he does, and if that guy does anything, you're in Illinois. I don't think you're going to do much.
Yeah, because like when you're in Illinois, like you probably lose all your recruits to Northwestern primarily, and then obviously the other Big Ten guys, and you know. Other conferences, better teams. Like, where would you rather play, Ohio State or Illinois? Or Northwestern, Illinois.
Yeah, I'd rather be a fighting Illini.
Yeah, like Illini.
Yeah, like who cares? I can't even say it because it's that stupid.
Like they are one of those teams that probably has a hard time recruiting because of what conference they're in and where they're located.
Well, just like Rutgers.
They're actually recruiting very well right now, though.
Yeah, they,
like, this class is, like, hold on, let me pull it up quick. But this class, I mean, I get what you're saying about, like, it being, like, hard to recruit to Illinois, because how do you sell, like, SEC guys, like, or, like, Miami players on coming to Illinois for, like, ice-cold, like, football seasons, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, right now they actually have 5 5-stars committed.
And
four stars, not 5 stars.
It was like what you just said about, like, ice-cold football. If I was going to play ice-cold football and I'm a guy that has SEC offers, would I rather play ice-cold football at Ohio State or Illinois?
Not a fair point.
Like they're not a hot point to say, like, give away for their recruiting. So that rounds up the Big Ten West. So we're going to go into our questions from our fans. John, you got them up? Ready to roll?
Yes, sir. Okay, so we will start with our first question from Max Torres. He said, can Jim Harbaugh do anything other than beat Ohio State this year to save his job at Michigan? Or is his seat not as hot as it appears?
All right, who wants to start with this one?
Matt, you can take this one to start.
All right, the thing is, like, Michigan's still a very good team. I think if he beats Ohio State, he's fine. But if they get blown out, the fire underneath his butt is very hot, and his seat is on fire. If he loses again, and it especially is not a close game, I think we could see a change at the helm following this season.
You're stupid. How many teams
come
would
on
kill to have, like, Michigan's record, even if they don't beat Ohio State? He's pulling dude, in, like, top recruits.
Dude, he's been 10-3 for the last three of the last four seasons.
Sign me up.
10-3 isn't bad.
Rutgers hasn't won 10 games in so long. Like, I'm talking, like, combined.
Okay, but you can't talk, like, Rutgers and Michigan in the same conversation, like, for, like, expectations.
Well, the big thing with Michigan is you're losing all those big guys on defense. Your defense was your strong suit last year, and you lose Bush, Winovich, and who's the other one? Bush, Winovich, and who else? Who was
they lost that corner, I think, right?
Yeah. I think they lost one more pass rusher who was big time. But
Rashawn Gary,
that's his name. Yeah.
That's pretty big time.
That is a big name.
But, like, even that, like, I just think that his seat's not hot. Like, I think the media makes it hotter than, like, it really is.
Let me counter right now, because I have it in my head. It, like, at the end of the day, we're talking about Michigan. You could send, like, they're going to get a high-tier coach, even if they fire Harbaugh this year. They would get a top-tier coach. And if that top-tier coach can come in and beat Ohio State, the fans of Michigan, that's all they care about. I mean, yeah, winning games, of course, but they want to beat Ohio State. So Harbaugh can't beat Ohio State. So if they bring in a coach who's just going to recruit as well, because you're still Michigan, you're still in the Big Ten, you still have the facilities, you're still an easy, like, a pretty easy recruit. And now if you have a coach who can beat Ohio State, that's where I think they start looking on the outside. If they're like, all right, can we get someone that can still recruit well and beat Ohio State? Because right now, all Jim does is recruit well.
That's not true.
I mean, I think Jim Harbaugh's seat is steaming hot right now.
You guys are crazy.
I don't think at this moment it's hot. But
I think it's hot right now, because if you look at since 2015 when he took over the job, he went 10-3 in 2015. They finished at the 12th ranking. 2016, 10-3 again. They were at the number 2 ranking in the nation, dropped to 10. Not that big of a drop off, obviously. 2017, they went 8-5. They started off at 7 and they finished unranked. Last year, the same thing. They started out, they were going hot. They finished 10-3. They topped out at number 4 in the nation, but they finished unranked. You can't be Michigan. You can't be the Michigan Wolverines in the Big Ten Conference and finish unranked the last two seasons.
Yeah, I kind of like how passionate you got there, but, like, I don't know. You actually kind of changed my opinion. If the way you put it, it sounds like they've peaked.
They did peak.
They have.
There's not much more you can go up from there. You were in the top 4. Twice in the last 3 seasons.
Okay,
and you finish unranked the 2 of those? You can't do that. You can't finish unranked at the University of Michigan. It's just not – it can't happen.
All right. So our next question is same person. How do you think the NCAA can go about equalizing the playing field with regard to coaches being able to leave for new jobs and player having to sit a year after transferring?
I mean, I'll start with this one. I had trouble answering this question because if you penalize coaches, you end up penalizing players. Because most head coaches have a scheme, they run it well, and if you suspend a coach, that interim coach is going to be calling the plays, getting lesser production possibly out of your players. So in the end of the season, to however long you suspend those coaches for switching jobs, you only hurt the players. But and then there's the other argument that says if you reduce scholarships, you harm the team as a whole. Like, there's nothing you can do to equal the playing field with coaches.
See, I read a thing when I was doing research on this. I think it was last January. A professor from Baylor and Iowa State, they came up with an idea where a player gets one, like, basically get out of jail free card. So they transfer, eligible immediately, no restriction. So, like, you don't have to clear waivers like Fields and Martell. Yeah, you don't have to worry about clearing waivers. So, like, if you do commit to a school and the coach gets fired or leaves, you are eligible to leave and not have to worry about sitting out for a year. Which, I do like that idea.
It's not a bad argument.
No, yeah, well, that's I like
contingent
that.
On, it's contingent on the coach, like, taking another job elsewhere or getting fired.
Well, it's like it's a one free transfer rule, so that's what it basically boils down to. So you could leave and not have to sit out a year, regardless of the situation. So it doesn't even have to be a coach leaving. You could just leave because you don't like the school, and you don't have to worry about sitting out a year without having to hassle with waivers.
Yeah, but like, see, that was that opens up a whole can of worms. I mean, I like the idea, but there's a lot of people who won't like that idea.
I know they won't be.
Okay, just making sure you knew. All right, so our next question is, why do you think USC constantly underperforms given the talent they have?
I have a simple answer for this, so I'll go first.
Okay, cool.
Their coaching stinks.
Yeah.
That's it. Their coaching stinks. Like,
I mean, I can't say that because I'm a Penn State fan, and that Rose Bowl they played against Penn State, that was probably the greatest football game I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, but they also had Sam Darnold.
That is also true.
I think they constantly underachieve just because, like, there's a lot of distractions in that program. Like, you're in the middle of L.A. Like, all the players, like, are more concerned. They're not concerned about football as much as I think. I mean, like, look, even players who have came out of USC, like Juju Smith, like, they're all, like, more celebrity than athlete, I feel like.
I agree with that. That's a good point.
And I also feel like they just have a lot of negative, like, stuff around the program. Like, Cliff Kingsbury leaving after, like, taking the job for, like, a month. That was really bad for them. I mean, they lost a five.
They just handled that completely wrong, though.
Who was the better short-time coach, Manny Diaz or Cliff Kingsbury?
That's a tough call. That's a tough call.
But
yeah, I'm talking short-term coach in general.
Dude, I don't know. But, I mean, Kingsbury leaving lost them a five-star wide receiver in Brew McCoy, who grew up as a USC fan. Like, that's bad.
Yeah, I just think it comes down to coaching because they obviously have talent because, like, you are USC. You have a history. You have a historic program. You have guys come out of there like Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart. Like, you have a history of Heisman winners. Even
don't forget about Mark Sanchez. Don't forget about my guy, Mark Sanchez.
Oh, my God. You know, even though Reggie Bush technically didn't win the Heisman, he still was one of the best college football players of all time.
I would probably rank him as number one. He was going up and down the field.
Because, you know, my school has a Heisman winner this decade.
Yeah, man, yeah, Oregon, way.
Yeah, shut up, Rutgers.
Dude, I wouldn't even, oh my God, I would take Tim Tebow over Mariota.
You're so dumb, it hurts.
Dude, Tim Tebow was so much of a better college quarterback than Mariota ever was.
Tim Tebow was a stud.
Okay, but Tim Tebow never ran into an undefeated quarterback in the college football playoffs and beat him. Winston didn't lose a game for two seasons, runs into Oregon and Mariota, loses his first college game ever.
You know, didn't he have a backwards fumble that was basically a given touchdown?
Yeah, he did, but they lost by, like, three possessions, I think.
I'm going to look that up. Also, like, 15? That was the first. That was the first
playoff. Let's just get back on track, boys.
Yeah, you guys keep talking. I'm, like, going to do some research.
All right. Anyway, I just think that there's just so much around that program that's just a constant underachieving. Lynn, what about you? What do you think?
The big thing, I'm going to piggyback on you. They have a lot of distractions there. If you ever watch a USC game, they're bringing celebrities on the field. They're on the sidelines. They're sitting right front row. They're always showing them on the big screen. these guys are seeing these celebrities, like, either, like, the big one for me is that I always notice Snoop Dogg's always there. Shout out to Snoop. He's always there. He's watching the kids play, and it's no problem for him. But when you're standing on the sideline right next to the players, it can be distracting. Like, you get a little starstruck when you see the legendary Snoop Dogg standing 10 feet away from a kid that grew up listening and idolizing Snoop Dogg.
Do you guys remember when he changed the name to Snoop Lion?
Yeah, that was a great thing. That was so funny.
Yeah, and that's what I got out of that. I just, like, when you said Snoop Dogg, I just kept thinking, like, Snoop Lion, Snoop Lion.
Oh, God.
Also, yeah. Quick question. Didn't Tim Tebow win back-to-back national championship games, or did they lose the second one?
I think they lost the second one.
That's when he was crying, right?
Yeah, that's when he said, you'll never let someone work as hard as me.
And he cried.
Yeah, that wasn't.
Was that the national championship game?
That was a regular season.
That was a regular season game. Yeah, they went on to win the national championship that year.
He's a two-time national champion, 2006, 2008. They did not win 2007.
I think they went. They were there in 2000.
And two is better than one.
In 2007.
Two is better than one.
Okay, cool.
Two is better than one.
Let's move on.
Oh, here's a fun one. Mike Ken's 23. Wants to know, Rutgers 2019, are we bowling or what?
Next question.
Essentially, yeah. I literally have no.
I mean, here's what I have to say about that. Rutgers can go bowling, but they have to pay, like, $12 for bowling shoes like everyone else.
And those are pretty big feet because they have some pretty big guys. I don't think they're, you know, that's the closest bowl they're going to get to bowling.
Yeah, they're not going to a bowl game. That's what, I mean, unless they buy tickets and, like, attend a bowl game.
Even with Texas Tech transfer McLean Carter. I don't know if you ever watched. Have you watched film of him yet? I watched some film from 2 years ago, I think it was, and I was not impressed the least bit.
Yeah, but I was impressed. I think he's the best quarterback on the roster.
Yeah, dude, but
and that's not saying much. Come on, that's not saying much.
If they took a trained
Texas Tech last year,
all you have to do was not throw the ball to the other team, and you would be the best quarterback of Rutgers.
Yeah, but he won the job at Texas Tech last year, and they throw the ball, what, 40 times a game? So you come into Rutgers where you're going to have to throw the ball, what, 10 times a game? Like,
unless you're
he'll be serviceable.
Fishy. Yeah, no, he'll be serviceable. I just don't think it's enough to go bowling.
Okay, yeah, neither do I, but I would kill for a serviceable quarterback right now for Rutgers.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that. He's definitely, he has good size. He runs pretty well, too.
All right. Lynn, do you have anything to say about this?
In my notes right now, in all caps, I have ha 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 ha. They stink.
Huh,
plain and simple. Right. They're not going to a bowl game. They will not go to a bowl game for probably the next 5 to 10 years.
That's
5 to 10 is a stretch, but I agree. I don't think they're going this year.
Yeah, me either. Okay. So our next question here is does Texas have a shot within the next couple of years at a national championship?
So, Bird, you want to start us off with this? Is Texas back?
I'm not answering this question.
Why not?
I've answered this question. I think I said this episode 8. This is at least the 10th time I've answered this question.
I'll answer it. I'll take this one.
No, why don't you remind us what you think?
Listen to the old podcast and find out.
I'll go with this one. So, Sam Ehlinger, he's back. He's very good. He'll carry some weight that he needs to. Dual threat guy. The big thing is they lose. They're starting one of their big time wideouts and little Jordan Humphreys to the Saints. Another thing, they lose their workhorse running back, the grad transfer, Trey Watson. So who do you have to replace these guys? You're gonna have John Burt. I mean, obviously Colin Johnson, the senior, he's gonna have to be their producer. He's gonna have to take the throne, do whatever they need. But the rest of these guys, Devin Duvernay. I think his name is. He's a senior. He only has 70 career catches. That's not ideal. John Burt, another senior, only 58 career catches. So these guys aren't really going to produce. So Colin Johnson has to take the longhorn by the horns and ride this thing.
I like it.
For the running backs, they're going to have a junior, Daniel Young. You don't know what you're going to get. He's a big question mark. He's coming off an injury. He's gonna have to take a throne. But then you have Keonta Ingram, a sophomore. He's gonna be the workhorse. He's gonna go there, go between the tackles. He's gonna get the ball, at least 15 times a game, and he's going to have to do what he can do and run up down the field.
All right, so for this question, I just have yes. So
That's all you got? Just yes?
Yeah, I've also answered this like 6 weeks in a row, so I'm not answering it anymore.
So Texas is back. It's official. Texas is back.
Mike, it gets better. Just wait.
Yeah, all right. So our next question is, what are your guys' thoughts on Texas in 2019? Can they compete for the college football playoffs and potentially a national championship this year?
I told you to wait. It wasn't a long wait, but so just say everything you just said over again.
Yeah.
I'm going to say – I'm going to answer the second part of that question. They will not be in a national championship this year. The only natty they'll be having is a natty ice or a natty light. They will not be in a national championship this year.
Okay, well, I actually do have some thoughts here that I'm going to answer this one semi. My thoughts on Texas in 2019, they're going to be the best team in the Big 12.
I'm still not answering this question.
Over Oklahoma, you have them over Oklahoma.
I think they're going to beat Oklahoma in the Red River Showdown again. Because, personally, I think that Texas' defense is miles better than Oklahoma's defense. Oklahoma's defense is so bad. That's why they lost last year.
Well, any Big Ten defense is bad.
No,
it's
Big 12. TCU's defense isn't bad,
and neither is Texas. Like,
isn't bad, but you play against any other high-powered offense, they're going to be shredded.
I don't know. I think Oklahoma loses that game again. They put up another stinker. All right, so our next question is, do you think Jake Fromm can take Georgia to a national title?
Finally, not a Texas question.
All right, do you want to start us off because you've been quiet?
Oh, my God, I would love to. Last year, he almost did it, so I think that I think that it's a realistic shot. I mean, they obviously still have to go through Alabama, LSU. Like, they still have to grind the SEC. But I think that Fromm and Georgia have a very strong chance.
Okay,
you can go, John. You get this.
Yeah, my thoughts on this are, this isn't a knock to Jake Fromm at all, but no. I think that Kirby Smart is just too dumb of a coach to get them there. You would have beaten Alabama.
Fake punt.
Yeah, the fake punt. You would have been there, but Kirby Smart basically took your chance, crumpled it up, and threw it in the trash by calling a fake punt. So my answer is no, but not because of Jake Fromm. I think he's a great quarterback, but no.
I really want to know who on the sideline, like, was like, damn, Kirby, that's a great call. Like, I agree with you. We should fake punt here. Like, was the offensive coordinator just like, all right, sure, dude.
All right, I don't want to hear about bad calls when Penn State calls three timeouts and they run a 4th-and-5 draw. There's no call in worse than college football history than three consecutive timeouts on 4th-and-5 and you run a draw against Ohio State with the game on the line.
I don't know. I think a fake punt against Alabama on like 4th-and-11 is pretty bad.
That was bad.
On their side of the field.
Speaking of that Penn State thing, though, real quick, I saw a video the other day. Chase Young prayed before that play, and then James Franklin runs a draw right at him. Like, it was. I don't know.
College football rigged.
Yeah.
Rigged by God.
So what do you guys think about Fromm and Georgia?
God hates Rutgers.
I'm going to take Fromm right here. I have always been a huge Fromm supporter. I loved him. I think he's going to be coming out for the draft next year. He's going to be the number one quarterback over Tua. I like Fromm. But you got to think about what's surrounding Jake Fromm. They lose one of the workhorses in Holyfield in the backfield, but you still keep Swift. That's a big up. But then you get down the stretch, and you lose some of your big playmakers. You lose Isaac Nauta. You lose Riley Ridley. You lose Mecole Hardman. You lose everyone, basically, except Jeremiah Holloman, who only had 24 catches last year. So,
yeah, but he's very good. Like,
When you only catch the ball 24 times in a season, you're not.
But that's because they had other threats, and they run the ball.
They've always had a two-headed demon in the backfield with either C.J. Mosley and Gurley, and then you had Chubb.
C.J. Mosley is a linebacker.
Geez, I'm blanking right here. But you had Gurley back there. You had Chubb. You had Sony Michel. You had Holyfield. You had Swift. These guys are always big-time running backs. And I'm not seeing big-time running backs outside of DeAndre Swift on this team. I'm just not.
They've got Zamir White behind them.
And also, here is my rebuttal to you, like, rattling off a million names that they lost. If you take a gander over at the top classes, they are the number two class in the country.
Zamir White, to have former top 10 player in the country. He's actually Dalvin Cook's, I think, cousin, I think. And he was the number one running back in the 2018 class. He was hurt most of last year, if not all of it. And I think he's going to be nasty this year. Also, it's the SEC. Every team is deep, so they're going to replace the production.
Yeah, like I just said, like the recruiting class. Like, they're going to bring guys in. It happens every year with someone. So let's jump into next question. We're staying, well, depends what you answer. We might be staying in the SEC. Which Florida team will have the best season? Obviously talking about Central Florida, Florida State, University of Florida, South Florida, and I guess maybe if you think Florida Atlantic or Florida International.
I'll start this one off here. This is an easy question for me. It's going to be UCF. They're going to have the best record. They're just in an easy conference, but it all comes down to quarterback play. Obviously, that scary injury to Mackenzie Milton last year, it's terrifying. So you don't know what you're going to get. But when you come to Florida, you're going to have a tough stretch of games. You're going to open up at Miami. Yeah, Miami's wasn't anything
good. Oh, I forgot to mention Miami when I was talking about teams from Florida.
When you open up at Miami, it's going to be tough. Yeah, they have a lot of transfers there. But then you play other games, like you're at LSU. It's tough to win at LSU unless you're Alabama.
You know what else is tough at LSU?
Playing offense?
Yeah, there we go. You got it.
And one more tough game is you're playing at Kentucky. Kentucky coming off a monster year last year. Yeah, you lose Josh Allen, but they got some good playmakers over there. So you see it, but then you come to Florida State, and it's just no. Like, you're not going to have – Florida State's not going to have that back
here. All right, so what I'm going to say here is I think – I agree with you. UCF has the best season. I think Brandon Wimbush is going to – he's not going to be Mackenzie Milton, but they play an easy enough conference to where it's not going to matter, where they're still going to be the best team, in my opinion.
It's just going to be high-scoring and high-powered offense. There's zero defense there.
Yeah, I agree. But, yeah, I think they have the best team. I think Miami stinks. Tate Martell, not very good. But, yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
I think Florida has – the Gators has the best season.
Are they going to do?
What?
They're going to go undefeated because UCF could go undefeated again.
Yeah, you think they have a better season than undefeated?
Yeah, I think they never lose a game again. No, but they have a lot of guys coming back. Their O-line's a little iffy, but David Reese is one of the best linebackers in the country, and C.J. Henderson probably will be a top 10 pick in the draft next year. So their defense is obviously very good. Obviously, I think they're going to be the best Florida team. So maybe they won't have the best season, but I think they'll be the best Florida team.
All right. We both disagree too, but
I don't care.
All right, be that guy.
Just if 28,000 people disagreed with me about the Rondell Moore, what makes you think I care what you two bozos think?
Because we're smart.
Oh yeah, here we go. All right, let's just jump into the next question.
Go. All right, okay, so
if college football had a conference realignment, what changes would you like to see be made? I would abolish the Mountain West Conference. I'd put BYU in the Pac-12, and then I think I'd just maybe not abolish the Mountain West, but I would just take BYU and put them in the Pac-12.
Well, if you demolish the Mountain West, pretty much all of those teams would have to go into the Pac.
Don't demolish the Mountain West. Just put BYU in the Pac-12, and for the love of God, get Rutgers out of the Big Ten.
They'll never leave the Big Ten.
I wish they would. I don't care about money at this point. It's embarrassing.
So I'm going to go jump into this one right now. So for me, if UCF wants to get into a national championship game and they want to compete, put them in the ACC. Let them compete. Go against Clemson.
I like that too.
Other schools. Don't go in the SEC. Don't be the laughingstock. Go into the ACC. Compete a little bit and get your feet wet.
I also have another one. I would also put Notre Dame in the Big Ten.
So that's what I have. Schedule. I have that. I said Notre Dame to the Big Ten or Big 12 so they can actually stop playing all these pancake schools and get some real competition.
Now, I like the Big Ten, and I also like the ACC for UCF. But the first thing I had was Notre Dame add to a conference, and the Big Ten makes a lot of sense because you've built in rivalries right there with, I mean, Northwestern, Illinois. I guess that's, I mean, no, they, I think
Michigan
they beat
and
Illinois.
Notre Dame always have a rival. Yeah.
And then you have Michigan built in every year now, Ohio State. Also, what I would do, like you said, abolishing the Mountain West, I would abolish the Big 12 and put teams into the SEC pack or the Big 10. Like, I would put, I'd probably move Texas to the pack. Like, that'd be fun.
What?
That'd be pretty fun.
If I had to move Texas, I'd move Texas to the SEC.
Yeah, but that makes the most sense. But I would move Oklahoma and Oklahoma State to the SEC.
I can see that happening.
In the same division.
I had a smaller move that could possibly work. It's putting Missouri in the Big 12. So we can flip-flop like Oklahoma State into the SEC, and then we can put Mizzou in the Big 12. Because Mizzou, they're nothing in the SEC. The SEC is the Southeastern Conference. Let me know where Missouri is on the map. It's in the Central. Like, it's not in the Southeast Conference.
Funny story about Missouri, real quick. Me and my dad were talking the other night about spring games. And obviously, none of the listeners know my dad, but you two both do. And he's a college football junkie, but he works weird hours, so he doesn't get to see much like news. And he was talking about how he watched Missouri spring game. And he said, oh, man, they got this quarterback. He was moving around, throwing up. He looked really good. He seemed like, you know, probably a really good recruit. And I said, oh, are you talking about Kelly Bryant? And he was like, oh, why do I know that name? And I was like, yeah, he was at Clemson. So, I mean, he's an established quarterback.
He's pretty damn good one.
So, hold on. Your dad doesn't have time to, like, get comfortable news, but he has time to watch the Missouri spring game?
Dude.
It was probably on at like 3 a.m. Come on.
No, he goes on YouTube on his TV and watches spring game highlights.
Oh, yeah, that's what he did. Like, he doesn't have time for anything else, but he catches Missouri spring game, like, by chance.
Yeah, dude, he puts on the SEC Network and watches the spring games when he comes home from work. Because he gets home from work at like 2, 3 in the morning. So he just throws that on. But he had no idea that Kelly Bryant transferred.
That's great.
I mean, how can you not? What's he going to do, sit behind Trevor Lawrence for the last year?
That's what he would have to do.
It's not that not an ideal situation.
Oh, it's actually perfect because we were just talking about Clemson for our last question. Yeah, perfect little segue. We tend to do that. What made Clemson become this random powerhouse? Who wants to start it?
I was going to start it. But
John, you can take it.
I don't think they randomly became a powerhouse at all. They like slowly built it. I mean, think like 2013, 2014, they had Taj Boyd who went to the Jets. They had Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins. Like, they've been a good offense for a while. And they've had this, like, slow climb up. It's just like, and also they're paying players.
Oh, boy. We're not going to get into this, are we?
I mean, everyone's doing it. But
everyone's doing it.
Okay. So I'll just jump right in. The reason why Clemson is a powerhouse, two things. Quarterbacks and Dabo. That is all you gotta know. Quarterbacks, you have Taj Boyd, you have Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence. So these guys, they're good. Plain and simple. They're good. And they commit to a coach. They just signed Dabo long term too. They've committed to a coach with a specific agenda, knows what he's doing, and obviously he can win them big games.
I agree with John. Like, they didn't become a powerhouse out of nowhere. Since 2011, they're 97-15, and they haven't missed a bowl game since 2004. So it's not like they were – it's not like Alabama, where I think Alabama wasn't even, like, good before Saban got there. I think in Saban's first year, they were 500. So that's, like – if you want to ask this question about anybody, it's just, like, Alabama, because Saban showed up, had a bad year, and then just turned it into – a freaking monster house of a program.
But then the only answer to that question is one word. Saban.
Yeah.
Like, that's the answer to that question.
Yeah, obviously coaching has a lot to do with it. Like, hold on, let me pull up Saban. Let me pull up the
think they went 6-6 his first year.
Yeah, very much 6-6.
But even then, that's like a somewhat decent year for a first year coach.
He was 6-7. They lost in the bowl game.
Okay, but 6-6 going into the bowl game.
Yeah.
For and then a first year coach? Come on, you can't be better than
that. He was the first year in Alabama. He was a national championship when he coached LSU.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you're switching schools. It's tough.
No, yeah, I get what you're saying.
It's never easy, especially staying inside the same conference, inside the same division in the same conference.
And then the next year he went 12-2, and the rest is history.
Exactly.
So that does it for this week's episode, guys. Hopefully you guys enjoy Mike joining the team. It brings a lot of good content for you guys. You know, when me and John can't make it, like I said. Hope you guys enjoyed, and see you guys next week.
See you later, guys.
See ya.